Good morning. It's good to be back. It was wonderful where we were, but it's good to be back. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we're going to celebrate Jesus today and Him being our life, Him being our light, and just allow the goodness of God to fill our hearts. We don't always have great things happening in our lives. Sometimes there's difficult situations we have to go through. We face things this week, Gay and myself. And so it's not that it's a perfect road. It's not that it's always beautiful. But we have the life of God in us. We have a reason to celebrate and to be happy, not because of our circumstances, but because of who lives in us and because of His presence in our lives. And we just thank You for that, Lord, that You are present with us, that You never leave us, You never forsake us, Lord, that the light of God is always present in us. And so, Lord, we focus on that today. We focus, Lord, on Your graciousness and Your peace and Your love and Your light. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Greatest day in history. Death is beaten, You have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. Empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, You have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. me sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to me, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. He cries out to thee, as deep cries out to thee, as deep cries out to thee, we sing.
Out to I just feel like there's one, maybe more people here that are carrying something that's heavy, and you feel like it's such a deep hurt that there's no way out of it, there's no end in sight. But when He says His deep cries out to deep, He wants you to know that the deep pain that you're feeling, He's right there feeling it with you. So your deep is His deep until you allow Him to pull you out of that and allow you to get through that. So if you're carrying something heavy, just ask Him to help you out of this, because He's the only way that's going to heal your heart. He's the only way.
As deep cries out to thee, as deep.
Leave a week and things start falling apart. It's crazy. No, that comes off all the time. I guess we are. Yeah, thank you, bro. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Stool. Yes. I know I say this all the time, but it bears repeating, especially when we sing that song, that we are not calling for God to come from some outside place. It's the way I used to sing it. I used to think that God was, even though I was had Jesus in my heart, somehow, some way, I had to try to work up or grasp or, you know, be approved to the place where, oh boy, it's really loose. Okay, there we go. I don't know what I did with my coffee. Get approved to such a way that he would come, that I was to be blessed with his presence, that I would be, there it is, that I would be, I hate using this term, but it's really kind of my mindset, that I was qualified. I was qualified to have him come, and that all my junk was in order. You know, that I'd repented of all my sins, and you know, and they were many. and then I would repent from not repenting from certain sins. You know, you get into this, like hyper justification where you think you have to make your righteousness, your own righteousness. Yeah, where you have to become righteous yourself, which is an impossible state to be in. It's utterly makes no sense. Yet the enemy of our soul and unfortunately poor teaching got us to the place where we believed that it was possible for us to attain some kind of righteousness. Not living right out of the abundance of Christ's presence, but our own righteousness, where we were worthy of receiving something from God. And so I used to sing that song, "Come, Lord Jesus," just begging for him to come into my life, into the fullness that I needed, so I would be more righteous. But could I say that? Because maybe I wasn't righteous enough to even invite him in. So it was a vicious cycle that you're in anytime you try to be performance-based. And so now when I sing that, I don't think of God coming in a way so that I can receive him in his fullness. I sing it in such a way that I'm aware that he is there. That I'll remind myself that he was the one who chose to tabernacle in me when I wasn't perfect. That he made this broken down church a beautiful cathedral for him to be in. And we know that he's not looking for the proud or the strong. He's looking for those broken vessels. And so,
and he's not going to be any fuller than he already is right now. Like, he's not going to be any fuller. Do you know what I mean? Like, you say,
he gives us everything as it is.
As we, I mean, he, just like you were saying when he was singing it before, it was, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, and do I even have a right to have any of him?"
Begging
him
come,
to come.
Come, yeah.
But he will never come any more than he already is in
right.
us.
Right. Of his
you
fullness,
already have
we have
the
all
fullness
received.
Of God in you.
Right. We have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Tap into it.
Yeah, we need to remember that. When we even feel distant and away from God, it's an illusion. It's an illusion. And I remind myself every now and then, it's like, "Oh man, I haven't thought about God." And, you know, and then I go, "Wait a minute. No, he's thinking about me." Ah, I just tune into him thinking about me, that his thoughts are never away from me. Mm-hmm. And they're never away from Tim. And they're never away from Vicky. And they're never away from Phyllis. All of us, his thoughts are always toward us.
Yeah.
You just think
so
about
good.
That. That each and every one of us have a personal, intimate, one-on-one relationship all the time. That makes my head hurt. I don't know about you, but because I'm in this three-dimensional, finite world, thinking of my God being able to focus on everybody at the same time with the amount of attention that each one of us deserves as his children.
Or needs. We're such a needy bunch.
Yeah, we're such a needy bunch. We do
so
have needs
question,
at times.
Question then.
What?
When bad things do happen,
mm-hmm.
like you said, we have been going through a real rough week and all that,
mm-hmm.
and others have that are hearing this, how are we supposed to correlate that with the good God that's in us?
Well,
you know what I'm saying? It's like...
Yeah, I mean, I know. Life...
Because
life,
the enemy would want us to believe that we're getting our comeuppance.
We're getting punished.
We're being punished.
Or we're not deserving of his blessings.
Right.
And so we're suffering like, you know, just everybody else. And the only thing that I can say after my 40-something years of walking with the Lord is that what the many enemy means for evil in our lives, this is the key. The key to understand that evil comes. That evil is not something that we can just avoid.
Because it is all around us.
Sun rises and sets on the sun, just and the unjust.
It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Mm-hmm. God blesses those who don't deserve blessing, and he blesses us because we're his children. But he's a good and gracious and loving God. And as we'll read later on, there's no darkness in him.
Right.
So he's not playing games with our lives. But we do live in a fallen world, mm-hmm, where all kinds of things happen. Either to us, or we perpetrate, or whatever, there are things that take place that cause us sorrow and grief and make our hearts heavy. But if we can realize that when we put those circumstances and those situations in the hands of God, and that means his timing, that means his process, not that, you know, tomorrow we want an answer, tomorrow we want everything to change, tomorrow we want all of our life to be in the way it was before whatever hit us in this crisis time. No, we realize that it's a process, that God is at work for our good, and that he's working everything in our lives,
right,
for his good, because we are his and we're called according to his purpose. And the purpose is, Jesse can say, for us to be conformed to his image. And we know that Christ learned to be Jesus in the spirit of Christ, learned to be obedient through what? Through the law? No.
Through
his love for the Father? No, it wasn't even his love for the Father. And he loved the Father with all his heart. He learned obedience through the things he suffered.
Right.
Which is a crazy thing when you think about it. Because we how could suffering
bring about obedience?
Mm-hmm. It's a work.
Yeah.
And so the work of grace and the work of I guess restoration, mm-hmm, can only come when we yield to the purposes of God. I know there's times I've been fighting against his process. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want this to happen. And it's like all this resistance, mm-hmm, for a long time, you know. And then once I say, okay, I'm done fighting, and I throw up my hands, I can tell you that I have testimonies, I've given them before, that it's like the next day that I stop, that he'll bring sometimes restoration. Because he's like, okay, you learned what I wanted to teach you.
Here you go.
Or your heart is where it needs to be now.
Here you go.
Because you're more like my son. That's his goal, is for us to be more like Jesus. And so if through the life that we've been given, we can become more like Jesus through difficult times, then that is a good thing. That's why those things are being worked out for our good. But, you know, there's people who live in countries that, you know, they may not eat tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, they may be sleeping on the streets, literally the streets. And not because there's some, you know, vagabond that has, you know, chosen to just be a drug addict and live. No, that's all they have. They have no other choice than to sleep on the streets because there's no other option for them. There's no resources. So we are richly blessed.
Yeah.
And not to say that we don't have our own trials, because I'm telling you, with all the technology, all the stuff that we have to take up our time, we may be like that Revelation, you know, 3 scripture. It says we're poor and we're naked and we're wretched, and we think that we're clothed, we've got all this stuff, but because of all the things that consume our focus, we're actually destitute, mm-hmm, and worse off than the person sleeping on the street, right, in a third world country. So what am I saying? I'm saying that in God's timing, he makes everything beautiful.
Yeah.
He makes all things beautiful in his time. And I believe that time is not our time. I wish it was. I mean, I wish for some people I could just pray and it would it can happen. You can pray and they're completely delivered. But it may not have been the best thing for them, because sometimes the process is what builds us into being more like Jesus. And that, I'm speaking as someone who has a lot of, not compared to the person sleeping on the street, but I have had a lot of suffering, you know, mm-hmm, you know, through my life. There's things that I've had to go through, and some of them were horrendous. Some of them, I mean, I just thought I was dying in some ways, you know, not physically, but emotionally and And I'm probably rambling, but no, I wasn't here last week, so I'm making up for lost time.
No, but it's not a coincidence that we're talking about this, because that's the word that God has given me this week to be pondering, is coincidence, because God is not a God of coincidence.
No.
And so when we get ready to go on our trip to Mexico, I'm saying to the Lord, okay, God, it's been a really long time since we had vacation. And I just want to go, and I want to have fun. And I don't want anything to mess with my fun. I did. I'm being very vulnerable here. The Lord spanked me a little bit, I must admit, but you'll see why in a minute. So I'm like, Lord, I just want to go, and I want to relax, and I want to have fun. And so we get down to Mexico, and we come down this escalator, and we walk into a sea of 3,000 people waiting to get through immigration. Six lines, hour and a half long lines, trying to get these people through immigration. And I'm thinking to myself, and I, at one point, I have to admit, I leaned up to him and I said, "Is this because of Donald Trump?" And he just cracked up laughing. But it was the holiday weekend. It was a lot of things.
Evidently, getting into Mexico is harder than getting out.
It is. Yeah. Much harder to get into Mexico than it is to get out of Mexico, I will say. So anyway, so we get in there, and the very first night we're there. Like, we're exhausted. We've been traveling since early, early morning.
Slept 2 hours.
Slept just 2 hours the night before. And then did not sleep on the plane. He doesn't sleep. And I felt guilty if I did, so I didn't sleep.
He could have
slept. So anyway, and so we get down there. We're both exhausted. And not realizing the food for us where we're staying is more than half a mile away. So you have to walk a half a mile to get to the food to turn around and walk a half a mile back. Because we're staying in this big, huge resort. Well, that night, we're both exhausted, and I'm like, oh, sleep. This is a comfortable bed. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord gives me a spiritual dream. Now, let me tell you, I can count on three fingers how many spiritual dreams I've had in my life. Three. And I get one the first night of vacation, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm like, Lord, come on. And it's something God had to speak to me in a dream, because apparently I wasn't listening when he was talking to me. So I'm like, and so Mike and I are going over it the next day and pondering it. And then all of a sudden we get a call from home, and it is a, what have you been calling
crisis.
It? A crisis. It is a crisis at home with our family. I can't get into details, but we're talking major, major crisis. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, I asked for a nice vacation. But the grace that God poured out on us to even be on vacation and be able to deal with stuff via phone with home.
To support and love.
To support and love and be there, even though we went with the thought that nobody would bug us for a week. The grace that God poured out on us was so sufficient. And it wasn't a coincidence to him. It's not a coincidence what's happened to you, where you're at, what you're going through. There's no coincidence there. It's for our growth. It's for forwarding us in God. It's for us recognizing that we have a opportunity to have such a close relationship with the God that's already in us. Like, I can say to my husband, babe, I'm only going to let you be this close.
That'd be a bummer.
It would be a bummer. Now, to think that he is going to, number one, not realize that is ridiculous. And number two, that he would put up with it would be like, that's not going to happen. But there aren't there some of us emotionally that we do that to God? God, you can only come just so close. And no more. This is my terms. This is me saying how this relationship goes. But God is saying, do you recognize how deep it could be? Deep, crying out to deep. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I have for you? Do you recognize the call of God on your life that you are living so short of? It's like God is saying to each one of us, I will live on your terms. I will only come that close because I want you so bad. I love you so much, But he wants so much more.
Yeah, he does.
He longs for so much more. And the funny thing about it is, we think, why would he want me? Did you just look in the mirror when I looked in the mirror this morning? Like, really? But he does. He wants me. He wants you. And it's not a coincidence what's brought us to today. Why you're sitting here. Why is something wrong?
I forgot the just the one week out.
Well, I don't think God's going to have us talk about that today.
Anyway. I didn't think so, but yeah.
I really don't, because it's not a coincidence that we're talking about this. This whole week, his whole week, when Roger wanted to pray over us, he asked us like a week before, and he was concerned. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I want to pray over you for traveling mercies, for safety, for favor, for everything. We knew exactly when that favor happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was in immigration.
Saved us $300.
Coming back into the United States, and it saved us $300.
Well, and plus we might have missed our plane, because if they started prosecuting us for that.
I didn't realize that when I grabbed a... Huh?
No, we're good. We're good.
We're good. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're just going to testify.
Yeah. I had grabbed a beautiful red pear.
Beautiful pear.
That morning, and stuck it in his backpack. Well, it was for him, so I forgot about the pear. And then we go through immigrations.
What is it called? Like you?
We go to customs.
Right.
Because we're at customs now.
And he asked me the question.
He asked the question. Do you have any food? Do you have any vegetables or fruit or anything like that? And we're like, no, you know, because I've totally forgotten about
the beautiful bread. And I say, oh, we got potato chips and peanuts,
but that's it. And I've totally spaced that I slammed a pear into his backpack. And all of a sudden, as we're walking through, he looked at me and he said, you did throw that pear away, right? And I'm like, no. Honey, you have the pear? I said, no, you do. you have it. But I forgot about it because I got it for him. Put it in his backpack. So we have
She's
to
like
get
looking for the garbage can where we can throw it away. I'm like,
no,
oh, yeah, there should be cameras
between immigration and customs. If you remember fruit or vegetables between the 2 points, don't even think about you're going to get rid of it, because they're watching you like a hawk.
Yeah.
No garbage cans, no nothing.
Oh, we were at the place where you declare. We'd already gone through our passports, and this is where we declare.
Yeah.
And then you have another place to go through, and that's where they do the final entrance in the country, and we go there, and we say, well, I forgot.
I gave him a pair that I put in his backpack that he didn't know about, and the guy
says, need to go over there.
Yeah, it's like, oh, over there. It's like, it's way more, it looks
so
way more.
So we pull it out.
Legal over
like,
there.
Oh, my Lord.
We're in so much trouble. Yeah.
Like, well, I didn't think so. I thought, well, we'll just give it to him.
Because over here, everybody's like, you know, grumpy and cranky because they're having to pull out and look through their bags and all of that. Well, over here, it's all official looking, and it's totally a different feel when you have to go over there.
Yeah.
And it's like, dun, dun, dun.
And there was a lady behind us, and she didn't look happy. So anyway, so what I handed it to him wrapped in a napkin. It's like, here's a napkin. It's like to keep it from contaminating the United States or something, you know. And he looked at me, he says, and we go, we forgot about this, you know. And he goes, you know, that this is a $300 fine, ignorance doesn't save you. And then he just grabbed our passports, our papers, went click click, and just we walked on by.
He said, "I'm not gonna charge you," and we walked by. So we knew immediately. So what I'm saying is, no coincidence in God. So anytime you think something's happening to you and it's coincidence, or it's just by chance that happened to you, or you're sitting here today because you decided you were going to come to church today. No, God knew exactly every person that was going to be sitting here. God knew exactly every heart that was going to be represented. God knew every member of your family that you would be representing here today. God knew what you would be going through from last week and going into this next week. God knows it all. You're not sitting here by accident. The things that irritated you this morning, the enemy tried to get you so irritated that you would not feel the move of God in your heart. He tried. I don't know about the rest of you, but he tried. And I'm just saying to you right now, this minute, this moment in time, it is not coincidence. God planned it. And if one of you were sitting here and the rest of us were not, he still would have planned it. Because he loves you. He wants you whole. He wants your hearts healthy. He wants you to come to him and oh, what is it called when you, it starts with an I, I think.
Expose.
No, I, not E.
I
don't. I can't think of the word, but when you initiate God in you, he wants you to initiate more.
Your intent.
Yes, and he wants you to have so much more than what you're settling for.
Oh, intimacy?
Are you intimacy.
Intimacy, that's right.
Intimacy. He wants you to have so much more. Because you allowing him to be so much more in you means you're so much more for them. Or them.
Okay, this is going to sound really, maybe almost horrible. But I think that if you don't allow God to go through what you're going through with you, if you push him away, he's allowing you to go through whatever it is you're going through for a reason. If you don't allow him to come into you and walk next to you and help you through this, you're not going to get the fulfillment of what it is that he wants you to get from what you're going through.
That's not horrible at all.
Well, it kind of sounds bad because, you know, you go through something and you're kind of like, God, why are you doing this to me? Why
Absolutely.
Are you? Why yeah. are you making me go through this? Why do I have to do this? What is it that I did that was so bad that you have to make me go through this? If that's the kind of mentality that you have when you're going through it, you're not allowing him to give you what it is that you need to get out of the situation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have anything they want to say at this point? Do you?
To add to that, I would just say that there is a, you know, there's a purpose. I think it says in Ecclesiastes, for everything under heaven. There's a purpose and a plan for everything under heaven. And the key is, like Tara was sharing, is to allow it to be under the government of heaven.
Yes.
It's allow it to be under the government of God, where it's not us in our own strength. Because it's drudgerous. It's heavy to walk in our own strength. And his yoke is easy. Just read it again this morning. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And sometimes that yoke is obedience by suffering. Sometimes that yoke is the trials of life. In this life, you will have tribulations. That was Jesus' own words. But I believe that when it's in Christ, that the yoke becomes easier and the burden becomes less.
I want to read this because I was reading this morning. What appears to us as random chance is in fact overseen by a sovereign God who knows the numbers of the hair on numbers of every hair on our head. That's in Luke 12:7. Jesus said that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without the Father's notice. That's Matthew 10:29. In Isaiah 46:9-11, God states unequivocally that he is in charge of everything. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summons a bird of prey, and from the far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. So the part that really got me here is that he makes, he is in charge of everything, and his purpose will stand. So his purpose in my life will stand, whether I learn it from this event that's happened with us this week or something else has to come into my life to teach me that. His purpose will stand in my life. I have will. I have a choice. He allows me to say, I don't want to learn this right now.
It's called free agency. You're a free agent.
Or I do want to learn this. I want to get through this. I want to be done with this. I want the trophy that says I did it, and so I can help somebody else do it, but I don't want to go through this again, or is something even worse? And that's pretty much what you were saying. And I've said that so many times, because we need to be on the other, we want, need to get across the top of that mountain to the other side. And so it doesn't appear as random choice to God at all. It was planned that way. And then, citing coincidence is how we humans explain unexpected events and surprise meetings. But just because we are taken by surprise doesn't mean that God is. God's never surprised. He was not. And I have to tell you this. The dream that he gave me on Monday night, I thought it was totally for me. Completely. Still coming back home and still going through this family crisis. Something happened even last night in this family crisis. This morning, he comes over from the church, and I've been up until all hours of the morning with the family crisis since he went off to bed, and I was dealing with it. So when I don't get much sleep, it's a rough morning. It's really rough. So I barely got any sleep, and he came to make sure I was up and moving, because he knew, you know. And we were talking about the dream that the Lord gave me on Monday, the first night of our vacation. Me thinking the dream was about something that I was dealing with, it's actually also about what we're dealing with now. The revelation came this morning as I'm putting on my makeup and talking with him when he came over to check on me. It's like, oh my goodness, the dream. And he goes, remind me of the dream again. And I'm reminding him of the dream. And he goes, exactly, exactly. There's no coincidence. I didn't coincidentally just dream on Monday night, and then it happened on Tuesday, and then home on the next Tuesday, and then the very next Sunday. I mean, we're talking, this is, you know, almost 14 days into this crisis, all of a sudden the dream is about this too. It's not just about my past that I've been trying to get done with, but it's also about what's presently happening with our family. And it's like, God, you are so doggone cool, like, that you would do that for me. Like, I was like, well, did I just like,
you're
the dream,
pretty excited.
The dream. Like, I was so excited this morning because it's not coincidence.
Mm-mm.
Do not disrespect your holy and precious Lord and God to the point that you would disregard the move of his life as coincidence. He is not that. He is a holy, reverent God, and he loves us with everything in him, and his hearts are for us and not against us. He knows our beginning and our end. He knows all of that. Do not disrespect him by putting it off as him being a God of coincidence. He is not that. But he is a God of second chances. And if you're going through something now, and you've been through something similar before, if you didn't learn it then, learn it now. He's given you the opportunity because of this word that's being brought forward this morning. He's not a coincidental God. He doesn't allow you just to go through things to say, I got done today. Check off my day today. Done deal. No. There's a reason why we're all sitting here. There's a reason why he wanted to talk about this morning. Is that reason why you?
And while you're up here, because I was going to have you come up, also pray for Hope and Kevin and the family.
Okay.
So we'll two birds,
two birds with one stone, right? Okay, so I was just thinking, the Lord puts all on all of us a mantle, you know, of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so this church did encounters a long time ago, for those of you who remember what they were. And Gaylene meddled, and I went to the first one, although I
do love saying that.
I do. It's all your fault.
Got in her business.
It's still her fault, yes. And so the thing that I had to deal with at that encounter was forgiveness and the removal of bitterness. And then so because of that, I was able to start talking about forgiveness. The Lord laid it on my heart about talking with people about forgiveness. And I have learned that it's not a coincidence that He will always constantly put you in places where you're teaching to make sure that you are where you need to be in that teaching, and that you're going to be better prepared for what's coming for somebody. You're going to have to go through something because somebody's going to be coming to you that's going to be going through it, and He doesn't want you complacent in that teaching. And so, and in this past year, the Lord has had me deal with forgiveness in two different major situations for me, and it's like, why? You know, and I was doing what you told me to do and everything, but it's not that He was punishing me or trying me. He was making sure that I wasn't getting complacent so I could continue to teach it to others in another way, that there are going to be people that I am dealing with that are having to deal with issues of bitterness and forgiveness.
In a deeper way, too.
Yes. Yeah. And because forgiveness is hard, and we can all say, well, yeah, I forgave that, and keep on going. But if we don't actively remember every day, I forgave that. I have forgiven that. In Christ, I have forgiven that. Through
if
God,
it's an
I
issue,
can forgive
it's still
it.
An issue. Yeah. I always say if someone doesn't have free passage through your heart, then, you know, if they get stalled halfway, like, then, okay, yeah. Lord.
Okay, so Lord, what's bothering me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's going on here? And where am I letting the enemy get a foothold? You know, that's what He's doing. And so now to segue into Hope, my best friend Hope, for those of you who know, she's come and she's dealing with family issues. And this is not a coincidence. Her husband, who is younger than us, my husband and I, he had a stroke last week. He had a minor stroke, and it was a major bullet that he dodged because it was a minor stroke due to extremely high blood pressure. He's healing. He's going to recuperate from this, but he had it. Well, and the funny thing is, the cool thing is, we were talking about praying, and I prayed with her and prayed for him and kept telling him, my husband is praying for you. I'm praying for you. Our church is praying for you. And they told him, you're going to be here in the hospital until Tuesday or Wednesday. They told him that Saturday. On Sunday morning, they sent him home.
Wow.
Because his blood pressure dropped to
praise
where they
the
wanted
Lord.
It, everything. And they told him it would take a while for that. But
prayer
that's the power
things.
Of prayer. And so we're continuously planting seeds. But now her mom went to the hospital Friday evening with a blockage. And this is the third one she's had. So Hope, who is not physically able for some stuff, is having to take care of her stepdad, who is physically disabled. And she's having to do that in the evening when his caregiver goes home, and on the weekend. Mm-hmm. So I just want everybody to be praying for that situation, to be praying for Hope, and that and for her and her strength and for her family, and that whatever the Lord is going to do with this blockage for her mom, because she's going to be in the hospital for a week.
So you pray right now. We're
okay,
going to agree.
So. And if anybody else wants to stand in prayer for anybody and anything they've got going on,
yes,
please do so. You're invited to do so. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You, Lord, and we lift Hope and Kevin and Ruth and Bill, Lord, and we just lift this family to You. They are seeing crisis after crisis in their life, Lord, and we need You to step in and let them see You working that.
Mm.
Lord, I know that whatever happens, it is in Your time and in Your grace. And Lord, I just pray for the comfort for Hope, and I pray for Your knowledge and Hope so she can speak You into this situation. And Lord, just bring knowledge to the doctors to take care of her mom the way that it needs to be done, Heavenly Father, Lord, and bring them the resources they need to take
yes.
care of her stepdad and her husband, Lord. Continue that recuperation in him as well, Lord. Let him see that it is only through You that it is happening. And we just thank You for this, Lord. And we just pray for all the needs in this building today and in the families of those attending here today, Lord. We just pray for Your grace.
Yes.
We pray for Your mercy, Lord. And above all, We pray for your peace, your peace in their spirit and your peace in their heart and mind, that you have it, as painful and as deep as it may be, Lord, that you have it and that you have depth enough to take care of it, of all of it, Lord, that your deep is deeper than anything we could go through. And we just thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of this and for your love and your grace and your mercy. And we pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Go ahead. I'm supposed to go ahead. Yes, Bob. Good, because I don't got anything to go ahead with. Go ahead. Faith is a substance, the tangible substance of things hoped for, and the visible evidence of things not seen. Hope.
So you just pray that her disruption of hope will be revived.
Amen. So now I see where you're going. I mean, it went the first time. Hope is the only thing stronger than fear? Wow. Okay. Exactly.
Exactly. There you go. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. She's named Hope for a reason. Amen. What? Does anyone have any questions? I think we really... Yes, Bob. Or it feels that way.
But I'm going to say, Bob, to that, is that we have to get to the part where we desire God so much more than we fear the enemy's attack on our life. We need God so much more that it doesn't matter what we have to go through to get it. It is like what happened with us in Baton Rouge, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm just going to tell you that God has good for you. And it's never a wrong thing to draw closer to him. It's always the best thing to draw closer to him. And to be available for him to speak to you so that you can hear him and sometimes not even talk. Like, be still and know that he's God. Wonder where I got that from. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just knowing that he's God in your life. Sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes that's enough.
He's more powerful.
He is more powerful.
He's greater than all.
Yep.
There's no demon can come against him.
No. Nothing can separate us from his love. Yep.
One of the things that Tim and I pray for at night is protection over our sleep in our home. You know, because the enemy loves to attack you when you're sleeping because that's when he thinks you're
vulnerable. Yeah.
Vulnerable because every defense is shut down. So we take that and we say, Lord, you come visit our dreams. You protect our dreams and you speak to us. And this is, there's something you want to say to us. And it's an active thing that we're doing. We're inviting him. And you're protecting, so you will get your prophetic dreams, or you will get just comforting dreams and whatever. Because, like you said, we're open, and so and inviting him protects you from attacks of the enemy. And he, and you're inviting, because our lives get busy, and so we don't hear him with the noise in the day. So if we invite him into our dreams, then he...
That's good. So inviting God into your night, yeah. I heard one person say that even that, you know, well, I think it was about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I started thinking, it's about 3 years ago, maybe longer, I don't know. But anyway, I started thinking about, well, my spirit doesn't sleep. What is it doing when I'm sleeping? You know, so I started pondering this, and of course, the Lord kind of opened up a whole bunch of things, but like you, and I don't do it every night, but there's some nights I just say, Lord, you know, I just invite you to let my spirit interact with you in such a way tonight, kind of like faith, applying faith with it, like you do with your prayer for your dreams, so that I grow in a way that I couldn't of any other way than being right there in your presence. And so that my sleep isn't just wasted hours, you know, restoring just the physical, but I'm being edified even in the spirit. So I believe God can do that, you know. Amen. We good?
Okay.
All right.
I got a Bible verse.
Oh, I saw you over there. I'm saying, okay, Tim's got something.
Can you come read it?
It's just the verse part to go with this today.
She wants you to come read it, so. She's putting you on the spot. Yeah.
No worries. I got something today.
Okay.
The Bible verse is Isaiah 48:10, and I'll read it. It says, I have refined you, but not like silver. I have tested you in the furnace of suffering.
Mm.
So it just kind of hit me. That's what I was trying to think of when you were talking earlier.
That's good.
And the thing is that it you know, you can look at that like, well, okay, God's doing this to us, you know, but it's more like it's life that's doing it to us, and how are we responding to it?
Amen.
Right. Because I don't look at God as putting, you know, sicknesses on people to teach them something. That's not the heart of God. But he will use sickness and disease to allow us to grow and learn and become more like Jesus.
He will use what the enemy meant for evil for
good. Exactly. And that is the key. That
where is that scripture?
What the enemy means for evil? Well, it's actually from Joseph when his brothers were coming
right.
to him after he had been restored to them, and they were like, they're like, oh, Joseph, we're so sorry we did that to you. And he said, hey, I'll tell you what. What you guys meant for evil, the enemy, God made good. God used it for good because it brought the full deliverance of their family because of the famine that was going on in Israel, right? Mm-hmm. So, well, praise the Lord. Anyone else?
Just to follow up on that, though, God refines us through that.
Yes.
He refines us through when we walk with him through our
trials. Right.
We allow him to.
That's the key. It's I think there's refining that goes on either way we look at it. But the depth of the refining is how much we submit to it, I believe. Just like I said, you know, I've resisted before, and finally when I say, okay, Lord, I give up, this is your way, he fixes the situation, because I don't believe that we have to keep going back and, like you said, relearning everything
right.
over and over again, that it's a growing process. And so, yeah, just know this, that when there is crisis, or when there's tragedy, or when there's things that are happening in our lives that we do not understand, we have a God that will take those things and make them so that they will be good in our lives and in the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together. And Lord, I thank you for my family here. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that came today. But I also thank you, Lord, for those who couldn't make it today just because of life and family issues. So we just bless everyone, Lord, that was not here. We bless the families, Lord, that are with other families and growing in the family love that you've given them in the natural. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless them and enrich their lives as couples and families and as children, Lord, that they would come to a greater family environment of love, Lord, that you can cultivate, Lord, your presence in. And we just bless, Lord, everyone that's here today, everyone that we've been graced to see, Lord. I just ask you to bless them in their workplace, bless them in their home, protect their homes, be with them as they sleep, Lord. Be with them, Lord, as they dream. Let their dreams be dreams that are heaven-sent and that are prophetic and that bring life. Lord, bring your light to their life. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are so good. As that song says, you are good. And help us to remember that, Lord, that we can sing and we can dance and we can shout. Even if we can't do it physically, Lord, we can do it in our heart before you. We just thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Awesome. Yeah. Amen.
We love you guys.